Join me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And we're going to wrap up some stories with respect to the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia clash. It'll be happening at the Barclays Center over in New York City, specifically Brooklyn. So let's have a quick read and see what's happening in terms of headlines, what people have to say. As you know, both Haney and Garcia, they fought six times as amateurs, each winning three times. Yet they've not fought as pros. They're both 25 years of age. The odds are heavily favoring now Devin Haney. So Ryan Garcia is the underdog in this fight, despite his speed and power. But of late, he has been in somewhat of a peculiar self-destruct mode when it comes to letting people know how he feels on certain subjects, which I've discussed before on Talk and Fight. No need to redo those sorts of things. Let's have a quick look, though, and see how that might have impacted him, because there have been some concerns with respect to ticket sales, not only at the Barclays Center, but the pay-per-view sales as well. So, of note is his mental health, and a lot of fight fans out there are wondering whether or not he even has the right state of mind, if you will, to enter into such a big fight against Devin Haney. You know, and with respect to these very serious issues that we should take seriously, and this gives credence to why the odds have widened in favor of Devin Haney, as opposed to when the fight was first announced. It was pretty close. But realistically, you know, is this all what Ryan Garcia has been doing and saying? Is this really in his benefit? Does it really favor him? And the answer is really no, I don't think so. A large segment of the boxing audience isn't really that comfortable watching, never mind paying to watch, a fighter, as I said, struggling with serious issues, take punches, you know. So Dan Raphael said something interesting. He said, you know, even though the sales have been very soft, yeah, almost assuredly the fight would have been generating more money if Garcia had spent the last 2 months convincing people it would be more competitive than they originally thought, not less competitive. And that's a very good remark. You can go see the full article on boxingscene.com. Let's have a quick preview of the comments regarding the weight issue, which we haven't really discussed, but it is a good one, brought to our attention by Jeepers Isaac over on boxing247.com. Ryan Garcia has agreed to pay WBC light welterweight champ Devin Haney a cool $500,000 per pound if he's over the 140-pound limit at Friday's weigh-in for their fight at the Barclays Center. Garcia's 24-1. 20 knockouts, shook hands with Haney, who's 31-0, 15 knockouts on the bet. So what is Ryan thinking? You know, you think, is this just simply a one-sided bet? I mean, you know, is Ryan, quite frankly, crazy to bet on this? Haney gets richer if he wins the bet, while Ryan gets nothing. It's a charity bet. The only way this bet would make sense is if Ryan were to get some money for making weight. Otherwise, what's the point? Haney is the one who has issues with weight, with him rehydrating to 165. The bet should have been for Ryan to insist on Haney not going over 155 when he rehydrates, which is still a heck of a lot of weight, shooting up 15 pounds from 140, but not nearly as insane as going up 25 pounds to 165. Ryan should be capping Haney's rehydration weight to 155. It would still be a weight advantage for Haney, but not as obscene as going up to 165 and walking into the ring as a glorified super middleweight on the night. It just seems like Ryan has played again, just like he did when he agreed to the weight stipulations for his fight against Gervonta Davis last year. Ryan would still have gotten that fight with Tank even if he had said no, but he agreed anyway, ended up drained and stopped. In conclusion, says this writer, Ryan seems so gullible. His bet with Haney makes no sense at all, unless it's something to gain in taking it. If Ryan loses $500,000 because of his poor business decisions, it would be a shame. But do we really care, given his 10 million Instagram followers? And I don't think we do. We certainly don't care. Let's move over to England. A couple of fighters who we do care about. Sam Noakes, who we've talked often here on Talking Fight, battling Ivan Mendy for the European lightweight title in York Hall. That's in London, England. Sam Noakes, he's 13-0, 13 knockouts. Ivan Mendy, he's 48-6-1, cagey veteran, 22 knockouts. And they're going to clash in the hopes of becoming, as I said, the latest European lightweight champion. This is they're the headline event of a Queensbury Promotions card, as I said, taking place at York Hall. On the same night, I believe, Ryan Garcia is battling Devin Haney. But nonetheless, it's an event that's airing live on TNT Sports for those over in the UK. And they had a few things to say with respect to their opponent. And here's some no-nonsense talk from Sam Noakes. It's coming thick and fast, after only two months since his last fight. It's been going good though from camp to camp, because I obviously ain't got the time to put the weight back on. I think it's nice to be busy, he said. Every boxer wants to be busy. That's what I've been saying. To be given this opportunity, I'm very grateful. I've got a class opponent. It's going to be a good fight. I can't disagree with anything he said. Both of us know what it means to us. We get this win, puts us in a great position. So may the best man win come Saturday night. Good for Sam, saying the right things there. All righty, let's have a quick look at what else is going on. So David Morrell Jr., who we haven't spoken of in a while, will reportedly be fighting Radivoj Kalajdzic for the WBA. Sorry about that. For the WBA regular light heavyweight title on June 22nd in Houston, Texas. This is courtesy Jay McIntyre over BoxingNews24.com. Fernando Sabatini reports that Morrell, who's 10-0, 9 knockouts, will be moving up from 168 to fight number 6, Kalajdzic. Sorry, just don't know how to pronounce it, guys. 29-2, 21 knockouts with a WBA regular 175-pound belt on the undercard of the Gervonta Davis-Frank Martin fight. If Morrell is victorious, he'll have to vacate his WBA regular super middleweight title as part of the condition of the 175 belt being on the line. The move makes sense for Morrell because he's got no opportunities at super middleweight. The big three, Canelo Alvarez, Dave Benavidez, and Caleb Plant, have shown no interest in fighting Morrell, so he's just wasting his career by staying at 168, fighting no-name opposition with no chance for big-money fights. Moving up to 165, however, will allow Morrell to put himself in play for fight against champions Artur Beterbiev or Dmitry Bivol. Fighting in Saudi Arabia would bring Morrell a big payday. Yes, it would. If Morrell can get a chance to fight whoever emerges as the winner for the undisputed light heavyweight championship in Saudi Arabia, it would bring him a giant payday. What would be interesting is if Morrell beats Benavidez to the punch by getting a shot at the Beterbiev Bivol winner before he does. Benavidez is expected to fight Alexander Kovacic for the WBC interim light heavyweight title on the undercard of the Tank Davis-Martin fight on June 22nd as well. So, stuff going on in the background. Speaking of background, promoter Eddie Hearn says Sean Jones wants his new signee, Jerome Boots Ennis, to focus on unification fights against other welterweight champions, leading to a mega clash against Terence Crawford. The fight against Crawford is Matchroom Boxing promoter Hearn's big goal for Boots, 31-0, 28 knockouts, but it'll have to wait until he's collected the other three belts at 147 first. Yes, it's a fight against Conor Benn there, but I'm more interested at the moment with Cody Crowley. He's mandatory. He's got to get that out the way, said Hearn. The match against IBF mandatory Crowley could come up in July in Boots' hometown of Philadelphia, assuming the fight gets made. Hearn didn't say who the backup plan would be if Crowley chose to reject the match. Hearn says Conor Benn isn't a priority for Ennis. That would be a waste if Hearn were to make that fight because Conor is popular in the UK, and once he's cleared to fight in that country, there's money to be made. That's a big if. Hearn says, I'd like to make Boots against WBA welterweight champ Imanta Stanionis I'd like to make boots against WBC interim 147 champ Mario Barrios as well. I think now is a big opportunity to make unification fights for boots, whereas previously there probably wasn't. So it remains to be seen if any of these unification fights that Hearn wants for boots can be made. And if they are, great. If not, we will continue and we will report on what is happening with all these other fighters he mentions. All right. But a monkey in the works, says Chris Williams over at BoxingNews24.com. A fight is in the works between Terrence Crawford and WBA junior middleweight champion Israel Magomedov. That's taking place on August 3rd in what could be His Excellency Turki Al-Sheikh's first card in the U.S. The 29-year-old Magomedov, he's 10-0, 7 knockouts, is a huge puncher, as you all know, and it would be a very, very risky fight for Crawford, who hasn't competed at 154. Having seen Crawford look very uncomfortable taking headshots from David Avanesyan and Kell Brook, he may be biting off more than he can chew against Magomedov, who possesses major power in both hands. Magomedov is viewed by some as a 154-pound division's version of Triple G, as he possesses the same type of power and stalking style, but with arguably better boxing skills. He's like a better version of Triple G, and that ain't good for Crawford, who is long in the tooth now and seemingly his career like a part-time job, only rarely competing. Crawford has never fought anyone with the kind of one-punch power that the Uzbek Magomedov possesses, and he hasn't been that active in the last 4 years, fighting only on an annual basis, as we all know. And so we could see Crawford suffer his first career loss against Magomedov if he can't handle the power, and that would obviously be his fantasy vision of one day being picked out by Canelo Alvarez for a mega fight. Good luck. Anyway, according to the boxing scene, the Crawford-Magomedov fight is being planned for the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum on August 3rd. Crawford, he's 40-0, 31 knockouts, will attempt to capture its fourth division world title in a rather low-key affair. Crawford turns 37 in September and had hoped to fight the winner of the last March's clash between WBO junior middleweight champ Tim Siu and Sebastian Fandora. However, Fandora beating Siu and being out with an injury forced Crawford to look in another direction to keep busy. Even when Fandora does come back from his injury, he could defend his newly won WBO 154-pound title against Errol Spence Jr., as that fight is believed to be bigger money than a match involving Crawford. If Fandora doesn't fight Spence, he'll face Siu in a rematch. Either way, Crawford ain't getting the fight with Fandora anytime soon either. However, just the other day, His Excellency Al-Sheikh made a post on social media showing a picture of Crawford with an emoji showing a glove, making it clear that he's interested in the inactive fighter. Crawford replied back with his own emoji, showing that he's up for the idea of fighting for him. There you go. But along comes Jermell Charlo. So according to Dan Ambrose, who's writing for BoxingNews24.com, Jermell Charlo has reportedly activated his WBA junior middleweight champion in recess spot to be the next opponent for the new 154-pound champ, Israel Magomedov, cutting off any chances of him defending the belt against Terrence Crawford on August 3rd. Dan Raphael reports that Jermell, 35-2-1, by the way, has involved his WBA 154-pound champion in recess to force a fight against Magomedov, as we just said, 10-0-1, 7 knockouts. And this move by the 33-year-old Jermell Charlo blocks His Excellency Turki Al-Sheikh's reported plans for to schedule a fight, as I just said, between Crawford and Magomedov for August 3rd in Los Angeles. Wow. Some fans see this move by Jermell as a way for PBC to A, block Crawford from fighting Magomedov, B, retaliate against Crawford for beating Errol Spence. Wow. One possibility is that PBC feels that if Jermell beats Magomedov, it gives him a valuable pawn to lure Crawford into fighting him. Right now, Crawford is not interested in fighting Jermell after watching his poor performance in his loss to Canelo Alvarez. After Jermell's lack of effort to win, Crawford's lost interest in fighting him. But if Jermell can beat Magomedov to capture his 154-pound belt, he'll have something to lure Crawford with. Now, the question is, will Al-Sheikh be willing to invest massive money in a fight between Charlo and Magomedov on the same August 3rd date. Given that Jermell was soundly beaten by undisputed super middleweight champ Canelo Alvarez in his last fight that took place September 2023, it might not be worth investing money in a fight between Charlo and Madrimov. The problem is that Jermell looked like he didn't even try to win. He was fighting scared and appeared to some fans to be there just for the payday against Canelo. Given that poor non-effort from Jermell, would Al-Sheikh be willing to pay for a fight involving him and Madrimov? It's unclear who Crawford will fight next if the Madrimov fight is off the table. If the WBO strips Sebastian Fundora of his 154-pound title, Crawford could fight Josh Kelly for that belt. It's a fight that would bring in a lot of money for Crawford unless Al-Sheikh shows interest. UK fans would like to see Crawford and Kelly fight, but not US fans. In 2021, former Crawford victim David Avnasyan won and knocked out Kelly in the sixth round. Does get interesting. Speaking of interesting, Anthony Joshua's in the headlines. Let's see. British heavyweight Anthony Joshua looks set to headline a major fight at London's Wembley Stadium in September. Promoters Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren confirmed on Tuesday that Turki Al-Sheikh, chairman of Saudi Arabia's General Entertainment Authority and driving force behind some of boxing's biggest fights, intends to host a show in London later this year. With the biggest heavyweight fights being held almost exclusively in Saudi Arabia in recent times, fans in Britain have been calling for their fighters to appear on home soil more often, and it appears they may get their wish in September. Heavyweight Filip Hrgović, who will fight Daniel Dubois on June 1st, said he has been told it is likely that the winner of their bout will fight for a world title against Joshua in London. Hrgović said, the plan is for the vacant IBF title to be on the line against Dubois. It should be me against Dubois for the vacant IBF title. And then the winner should fight Joshua. But you never know in boxing, he said. Joshua is the dream fight, and I hope I will beat Dubois and then fight him in Wembley in September. That would be perfect, he said. All right. Let's conclude the show with some big news out of women's boxing. Looks like Elle Brook is going to go up against Paige VanZant on May 25th. For all of you who are interested in Oli fans, these are two young ladies who you probably might want to see go toe-to-toe. If you're into Misfits boxing, which seems to be incredibly popular over in the UK, hasn't really hit it over here, North America. However, having said that, we're being made to believe that this clash is going to take place in Texas. So, quite frankly, VanZant has not fought since 2021 when she lost a bare-knuckle boxing rematch against MMA rival Rachel Ostevich. So she's been out of the ring for a while. Let's have a quick look here. VanZant revealed her boxing debut set for March, but had to be backdated to the summer. And I guess that's it. If you just take a look at Brooke, 26 years old, named VanZant among her list of dream opponents. And when probed by Talk Sport, she said, a really huge fight like Paige VanZant or Ronda Rousey. So for those who are following, as I say, only fans or so-called influencers in the realm of bikini babes, Elle Brook and Paige VanZant going toe-to-toe May 25th, and that was apparently leaked during the DAZN press conference that they were having for Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. So we're not supposed to know about it, but we do know about it. So there you go. Elle Brook and Paige VanZant. Fight we're all been looking forward to. All right. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. Remember to catch me anytime on talkingfight.com or specifically 11 a.m. Monday to Friday. As I go live to air. That's it. Like, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and we'll see you later on